Tonight, Brother Tim Ellerbe, he's been preaching since 1988, great gospel preaching. So this time, Brother Tim Ellerbe is going to come on, he's going to bring us a word from the Lord. What can wash away my sins? Come on, Tim, tell us.
Thank you, Brother Tommy, and thank you for that wonderful prayer, Brother Winfrey. Thank you all for joining tonight. I believe you're here because you love the Lord. Those of you invited, you love the folks that you invited. We're so thankful for your zeal for Christ. What can wash away my sins? There's a song we sing, and it goes something like this. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, as I study about Christ, and I lately I've really been digging into the Word to understand more about Christ and more about God, and it amazes me what He has done for us and what His blood does for us. I'll just give you a few passages. The blood of Jesus justifies us, Romans 5:9. We are forgiven by the blood of Jesus, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7. We're spared from wrath because of the blood of Jesus, Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. We're spiritually healed because of the blood of Jesus, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 24. We're made alive when we were once dead, Romans chapter 5 and 9. We are continuously cleansed, 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our faults, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. So that is a conditional statement. We have the power to overcome the devil because of the blood of Jesus, Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 11. We are redeemed because of the blood of the Jesus. That means we were bought back, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7. We're brought near to God because of the blood of Jesus, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. The church of Christ was purchased with His blood, Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. And the Savior in that blood-bought church that God purchased with the blood of Jesus. And so in order to be saved, you must be in that church. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. And we see in Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18, that Jesus promised that church. He says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It is singular in nature. And all the saved are in that church, that blood-bought institution, which is the church that belongs to Christ. It is the church of Christ. Baptism puts you into Christ, into His body, into His church, and the church is His body. Galatians chapter 3, verses 27, that's what baptism does. What I'd like to show you tonight is the connection between baptism and the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If you turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 is where we're going to land, but I want to just read here in verse number 4. The Bible says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne. You look at all of the accolades that John places on Jesus. He is, He was, He is to come. He is the everlasting. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's talking about Jesus. And what he goes on to say is, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, no one has credentials like Christ. And the ruler over the kings of the earth, do not put your trust in man. Love man. Love your brothers. Love mankind. But don't put your trust in mankind. Don't put your trust in this system, because Jesus is the only one that can bring us to God and save our souls. The Bible says, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins, where? In his blood. Now, that pertains to those that have already obeyed the gospel and been baptized into Christ and are members of his church. That only pertains to those. And the Bible says in verse 6, he says, and he has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. If you are a member of that blood-bought institution, if you have obeyed the gospel, you are a king and a priest to God and his Father. You are something special. You and I are something special to God. And what is man that God is mindful of him? That he sent his only begotten Son, that God became flesh and dwelt among us and was full of grace and truth. He sent him to die for our sins that we might have everlasting life. So we are washed from our sins in the blood of Jesus. Now let me show you how to do that. Turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 9 and verse number 1. We're going to read a few verses from the book of Acts. We're going to see this man named Saul, who later becomes the Apostle Paul. And we're going to see his conversion here in these passages. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 1, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, he was having members of the church murdered, killed because of their beliefs. And I want to tell you this. Saul was a sinful man. No murderer can go to heaven. The Bible says in Revelation 21 and verse number 8 that murderers shall have their place along with the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, sexually immoral, and sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their place or their part in the lake of fire, that the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The Bible says this in John chapter 8 and verse 21 and 24. Jesus states that if we die in our sins, where he is, we cannot come. So I am concerned about dying in my sins, or my neighbors and my friends and the ones I love and even my enemies. No one should ever want anybody to die and spend eternity in hell. And we should be asking the question, what do I need to do to avoid that terrible fate and for my family and friends to do that? Well, we're going to find out what Paul did, and we should be able to do the same thing. In verse number 3 of Acts chapter 9, the Bible says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Verse 4 says, then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Just for a moment, if you're a member of the Lord's church and you're being persecuted, understand this, you're not the only one being persecuted. They're persecuting God. They're persecuting Christ. And one of the things is he is there for us when we go through these trials and tribulations. You just hang in there. That's just my word of encouragement tonight. You hang in there and you don't fight the way the world fights. You love and you share the gospel and you're kind, as we all should be. Acts chapter 9, verse number 6. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's a good question. What must I do? That question is asked in the book of Acts. We'll see in Acts chapter 2. What must I do to be saved? That's what Paul is asking. What do you want me to do, Lord? When I hear the truth, I want to know what I need to do to be obedient and in line with Christ. And the Bible says, then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Not what you want to do, not what your parents told you, not what you learned from at the feet of Gamaliel, who was your teacher, but what you must do. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 10. He says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. Here's a message for us in the church. We shall always say, here am I, Lord. Send me. We should be sharing the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with the world. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 11. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul, for behold, he is praying. Let me stop just for a moment there to let you know. Paul could not pray his way into heaven. He could not pray his way into the church. And there's a lot of false teaching out there, my friends who are not members of the church, who are hearing this for the first time, who have said the sinner's prayer in order to be saved. Understand this, and I say this not to be offensive or anything, but there is no such thing as a sinner's prayer in the Bible. There is no such thing. And if there was a sinner's prayer, then Paul would not have to do what Ananias tells him to do in Acts 22:16, which he goes on and tells a story. Paul is repeating the story. And so Ananias says this in Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Take your time and get there. Acts 22 and verse 16. He says, "And now why are you waiting? Why are you down there waiting? Why are you tarrying? Why are you praying?" He says, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." That's how you call on the name of the Lord. It is through baptism. And I want to show you that baptism is connected to the blood of Jesus. And this is how. Now, here's what I want you to do, and please take some notes here, because we're going to go through some scriptures really quickly. The phrase "for the remission of sin" connects the blood of Jesus to baptism. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 26 through 29, but the Bible says, and I'm just going to pull a verse out of there. He says, "Drink from it," and as Jesus is instituting the Lord's Supper, he says, "But this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, he says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins." The word remission means to forgive sins. So Jesus says he shed his blood for many for what? The remission of sins. He says, "Without the shedding of his blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." Turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. He says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, that you, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Note that we are baptized for the very same reason that Jesus shed his blood. This connects the blood of Jesus Christ to baptism. The blood was shed for the remission of sin. We are baptized for the remission of sin. The phrase "death of his son" connects the blood of Christ and baptism. Turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 10. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 10. Look at what the Bible says. "For if when we were
enemies, we were reconciled to God through" what? "The death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we have been saved by his life." Now, we were reconciled by the death of his son. Watch this. The death of Jesus, the shedding of blood, results in being reconciled. But just a few verses later, if you look in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3, he says this. He says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death?" So the death of his son, Jesus, reconciles us. And so how do we do that? Through baptism. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. So just as surely as we are reconciled to God by the death of his son, we must be baptized in that same death. This connects the blood of Christ to baptism. The phrase "washed from our sins," what we saw show earlier, connects the blood of Jesus with baptism, Revelation 1 and 5. John described Jesus as him who washed us from our sins in his blood. We looked at Acts 22:16. He says, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Here we go again. The blood of Jesus is connected to baptism. The phrase "sprinkle" and "bodies washed" connects the blood of Jesus Christ and baptism. And this, we're going to find this in one verse. Turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 22. "Let us draw near to God with a true heart and full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." The sprinkling is a reference to the blood of Christ in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. And the washing of water is a reference to water baptism, Ephesians 5, 25 to 26, and Acts 22, 16 that we just showed. These seemingly different things are brought together in one verse
And this verse connects the blood of Christ and baptism. The phrase shall be saved connects the blood of Christ and baptism. Look at Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. But God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now look at Mark chapter 16, verses 15. This is Jesus talking. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He said, we're justified by his blood. We shall be saved. That's Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. The Bible says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. See the connection? So while there is no doubt that Jesus saves us by his blood, he only does so when we are baptized. This connects the blood of Christ to baptism. The connection is clear. Don't care what the world says, the connection is clear. Christ shed his blood on the cross to make salvation possible, and in baptism we obtain the benefits of that shed blood. I want you to imagine for a moment, and the analogy I'm getting ready to give you came from one of our good brothers out of Austin, Texas. So this didn't originate with me. I know many of us, as we get older, we go to a lot of funerals. And you rarely go to a funeral where someone isn't preached into heaven, no matter how they live. But normally, I just want you to imagine you're going to a funeral of a man that was a good moral man. But the person never was baptized for the remission of his sins, never obeyed the gospel, wasn't a member of the church. They were religiously moral. They attended a denomination faithfully. They treated their neighbors good. They treated their family good, worked hard, but they never obeyed the gospel. They never came in contact with the blood of Jesus. And the preacher is standing there and he's preaching his funeral. And that preacher is saying how good and wonderful this person is and that he's in heaven with Christ and all this. I want you to hear what Jesus is saying. Now, remember what Jesus said. He said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes or not shall be condemned or shall be damned. Listen now. The preacher is preaching this sermon and saying that this man is in heaven and he was a good man, but he never obeyed the gospel. He never obeyed the truth. He never came in contact with the blood of Jesus. He never had his sins washed away. He said the sinner's prayer. He did all this, but he's not saved. But that preacher and all the family members are there, as sincere as they can be. But I want you to hear what Jesus says. Not everyone who says, Matthew chapter 7, verse number 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then this is Jesus talking. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you practice lawlessness. If you don't go and obey the gospel and baptize into Christ, and the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness, 1 John chapter 1, verse number 7. If you don't come in contact with that soul cleansing blood of the Lamb, you are not saved. I don't care what that preacher gets up there and says. And you think about it, that family is sitting there and they're thinking, wow, what a great person. And he's preaching them in heaven. But guess what? Jesus is saying differently. I want you to think about that funeral. And I want you to think about the reality of what Christ is saying. He's lost. And that's a sad commentary because he never came in contact with the blood of Jesus so that his blood could justify him, Romans 5, 9. So his blood could redeem him, Ephesians 1 and 7. So his blood could reconcile him, Ephesians 2, 13 and 16. Here's a question I have. There's another song we sing. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside your garments that are sin, stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. The only question that remains is this. Have you been baptized into Christ? If you haven't, but would like to be, let us know and we'll be glad to help. For those of you who never obeyed the gospel, never heard the gospel, Jesus Christ suffered. I mean, He suffered on that cross. He was beaten and bruised and battered. He went to that cross for us. And He died for our sins, that we might have the right for everlasting life. And they buried Him and stayed in that grave for 3 days, but He did get up. And that's the wonderful thing, because He got up, we can rise and walk in newness of life, as we said earlier in Romans chapter 6. You must first hear the gospel message, which I just shared with you. Romans 10:17, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then you must believe that message. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, He says that without faith it's impossible to please God, for we must believe that He is and a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And we must be willing to repent of our sins. Luke 13:3-5. He says, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance means to turn from our sin and turn to God. And then we must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Romans 10:9-10. Confession is made with the mouth unto salvation, not into salvation. And then a person must be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And that's Acts 2:38, Galatians 3:27. And then that's where we will have the blood of Jesus wash away our sins. And then after that, we must be faithful Christians until we die. Revelation 2:10. 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. If you're subject to the Savior's invitation, the brethren will let you know what you need to do and how you need to do that in order to obey the gospel, and they'll find your church home. Please feel free to reach out to us. And thank you so much for your time. May God bless you. Thank you.